And I wonder if we can have our first reading now, and it's from the Gospel of Luke, this reading. Yep, thank you.
The first reading comes from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. And it's on page 80 of the New Testament part of the Church Bibles. Jesus calls the first disciples. One day, Jesus was standing on the shore of Lake Gennesaret while the people pushed their way up to him to listen to the word of God. He saw two boats pulled up on the beach. The fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Jesus got into one of the boats. It belonged to Simon, and asked him to push off a little from the shore. Jesus sat in the boat and taught the crowd. When he finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Push the boat out further to the deep water, and you and your partners let down your nets for a catch." "Master," Simon answered, "we worked hard all day long and caught nothing. But if you say so, I will let down the nets." They let them down and caught such a large number of fish that the nets were about to break. So they motioned to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so full of fish that the boats were about to sink. When Simon Peter saw what had happened, he fell on his knees before Jesus and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." He and the others with him were all amazed at the large number of fish they had caught. The same was true of Simon's partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid, from now on you will be catching people." They pulled the boat up onto the beach, left everything, and followed Jesus.
Here are a few thoughts on that first reading before we hear our second reading today. And up here, you'll see a fairly traditional picture of Jesus there with two of the fishermen out on the lake, Lake Galilee it was actually. Luke uses a different word. And there they are with their quite an odd-looking fishing net, really, isn't it? But that's, I don't know who the artist is of that one. It's just a traditional, I think, depiction of the story. When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The very last verse of that reading. And in that one sentence, Luke says, an awful lot. Simon, James, and John abandoned their work there on the side of the lake, just like that, it seems, and went off with Jesus. What was it about Jesus? Perhaps it was his authority. Simon didn't question him when Jesus got in his boat and preached from there. You can easily miss that. Verse 3, he taught the crowds from the boat. Parts of the lake are rather like an amphitheater, with headlands that jut out, and in between you have a lovely amphitheatre effect with the sound. The volume from anybody speaking out on the lake is quite high, and so Jesus took that opportunity. And that's all it says, he preached from the boat. We don't know how long, but maybe he taught something that caught the attention of those three fishermen. We know Jesus' teaching was challenging. He taught in the way that the Jewish rabbis taught, but he always added a little bit extra. And perhaps for Simon and James and John, it made a lot of sense. But on the other hand, it could have been because Jesus was a miracle maker. And I wonder if you could put the next picture up, please, Tom. And this is a very different depiction of that gospel story. And the artist here is John Riley. And there he's got the three fishermen and Jesus and the lake, lots of colors and shapes. Make of it what you will. Jesus said to them, "Put out your nets in the deep water." It wasn't a suggestion, it was an instruction. And the fishermen did so straight away, without question, and were amazed at the catch. And this was the beginning of their ministry as disciples. They'd heard the teaching, they'd seen the miracle, and off they went with Jesus. And in a moment, we're going to hear a reading from Paul's letter to the Corinthians. And by the time Paul joined this team of disciples, obviously up to 11, 12, another one was added later, they had more or less become apostles. And Paul calls himself an apostle. He describes himself as the least of the apostles. But likewise, he left everything to follow Jesus Christ. And he tells us in this reading, listen out for it, that he put much more effort into it than anyone else. So that's okay. We'll hear that reading now from Paul. Writing to the Corinthians. Thank you.
The second reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians. This is the first book of Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. The resurrection of Christ. And now I want to remind you, my brothers and sisters, of the good news which I preached to you, which you received, and on which your faith stands firm. That is the gospel, the message that I preached to you. You are saved by the gospel if you hold firmly to it, unless it was for nothing that you believed. I passed on to you what I received, which is of the greatest importance, that Christ died for our sins, as written in the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised to life 3 days later, as written in the scriptures, that he appeared to Peter, and then to all 12 apostles. Then he appeared to more than 500 of his followers at once, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, and afterwards to all the apostles. Last of all, he appeared also to me, even though I am like someone whose birth was abnormal, for I am the least of all the apostles. I do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted God's church. But by God's grace, I am what I am. And the grace that he gave me was not without effect. On the contrary, I have worked harder than any of the other apostles, although it was not really my own doing, but God's grace working with me. So then, whether it came from me or from them, this is what we all preach, and this is what you believe. Amen.
I want to think a little more about passing the message on. At the moment, I'm doing an Alpha course. Anybody done an Alpha course at any stage? Yet, one person there. I organized one about at least 12 years ago, and I noticed one running at the parish church down the road from where I am. And I thought, well, it's about time I found out again what Alpha is all about and see if it's moved on. So we join together for a meal and we watch a video and we have a discussion group. Nicky Gumbel, the vicar, and I think he's still there at Brompton, wrote the Alpha course originally, and he's on what are new videos now. They're only made about 18 months ago, and they involve a lot more people as well as Nicky. But it's still the same message, and of course he used to be a lawyer, and he looks for evidence. He looks for evidence for and against the events written in the Bible. And he became a Christian because the evidence for the existence of God and the accounts of the Gospels for him is overwhelming. And every video we watch, he tends to repeat that. But it's exactly what Paul does here. In his letter, he sets out his evidence. So I wonder if we can have the next picture in the PowerPoint, Tom, if you can work that one out, with the third one, I think. Yeah, great, thanks. Paul sets out the evidence so that the Corinthians can make their own choice. They can ignore the good news of the gospel and of Jesus Christ, or they can accept it. And if they accept it, they must hold firmly onto it. There we go. Hold firmly. They needed to, because Corinth at the time was a very mixed and very lively city, and there were many distractions and temptations. But so do we need to hold firmly onto the message. We too are faced with distractions and temptations. In a way, I think it's like holding firmly onto that baton if you're running a race, because if you drop it, you're out of the race. Well, for young Christians in Corinth, Paul repeated the story of the good news. You have the next picture, Tom. This one and the next one I'll show you in a minute are depictions of Paul preaching in Corinth. And what he preached was the news that Jesus Christ had died, was buried, and raised on the third day. He appeared to all the disciples, 500 others, and then to all the apostles, even Paul himself. And they show the next, yeah, thank you, Tom. That's another depiction of Paul preaching. I'm not sure it would have looked exactly like that. I think there's a castle there, and I doubt if they had a castle in Palestine. But it gives you the flavor of Paul standing there giving the good news. Every time we celebrate Holy Communion, which of course we're not doing today, but we do usually once a month, we are reminded too of that good news in the prayer of thanksgiving, which always tells the story of Jesus Christ. And it reminds us of the foundation of the Christian faith, which is what the Alpha course does as well. If you get an opportunity, it's a great reminder of what our faith is all about. So do we need a reminder? I think so. If we call ourselves Christian, we need to be ready to explain that. We need to be ready to pass the message on. It doesn't have to be a speech like Paul gave, and it doesn't even have to be a word. We'll have the final picture, Tom. It could be just a smile. When we helped with the Olympics in 2012, we were told that the most important thing to do was to smile and to keep smiling, because to smile offers a welcome, even if there's a barrier of any sort, language or otherwise. A smile, virtually, I think all cultures, means you are welcome. And so you can give a smile that passes on the Christian message through that welcoming sign of love. Or like Paul, you could write a whole book about it. That's the bottom one there, write a book. And you may feel scholarly and have lots to say and want to write a book about the good news. But in between, there are lots of ways of passing on that message. All sorts of ways, from the simple act of giving a smile to the much more complicated act of writing a book. How could you do it, I wonder? How could you, most easily for you, pass on the message, the good news of Jesus Christ? Maybe it needs to be a reflection of what Jesus Christ is for you personally. A way of telling what the good news means for you especially. And in the first hymn we had today, we sang, Jesus said, I am, all sorts of different things, the bread, the life, the light. And maybe that is what Jesus is for you, one of those things. He may be something else to you. He may be a friend, a savior, a leader, a support, confider. He might be for you light or love. And I'm going to give you a little task now, and it's not difficult. I'm going to give you, maybe with a little bit of help, one of these. And these are in the shape of a hand, just to signify that passing on. And I've written, Jesus is. And I wonder if you can add a word there, whatever Jesus is for you. And then if you're able, or the able ones amongst you, to bring them up. Got a little bit of blue tag, I'm going to stick them to the board. And if we're very clever, I thought we could make the shape of a cross with the hands. See how we go. So there's one or two pens down here. I'm hoping some of you might have a pen or a pencil with you. And we'll pass these round. And when you're ready, if anybody wants to collect them or if you want to come up, and we'll pop them on the board.